Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this 22nd day of April 2019. I hope that you all had a very blessed Easter weekend in celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, we should be celebrating that every day, but it's always a wonderful opportunity to get together with family, friends, and loved ones, both those who are saved and those who are lost, so that we can share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you had the opportunity to do both over the weekend, both enjoying the fellowship of the brethren and also having an opportunity to share your precious faith. Today we have, as a first-time guest, somebody who I've wanted to interview for quite a while, and I'm so delighted that I have the opportunity today to have him on for the very first time, Liam Gallagher. He is the senior minister at 10th Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the late Dr. James Montgomery Boyce was the pastor for many years, and he is very much remembered for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology that he held there at 10th Presbyterian every year, which is now held in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. And we're going to be talking about this week's Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology this weekend, which I hope to attend. And today our actual two topics for discussion with Pastor Gallagher are redemption, accomplished and applied, both a phenomenal and amazing biblical truth, and the title of one of the best books on the atonement by John Murray. And the second hour, we intend to discuss sanctification by grace. But it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Liam Gallagher.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Amen. Well, why don't you, other than what I just said, for our listeners who may be totally unfamiliar with 10th Presbyterian Church of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we do have new believers in our audience at times. We also have people who are not even Christians listening. So why don't you tell our listeners about 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania?
So we're a church in the Presbyterian Church of America. We're in Center City, in a very strategic location. Where there's absolutely no parking, virtually.
I think that's one of the reasons they moved the location, isn't it? of the conference.
The conference, yeah. So that's one of the challenges we have, and yet, remarkably, you know, we have over 1,000 people every Sunday who manage to find their way there, and perhaps 1,600. And in spite of that being a huge hurdle, nonetheless, we still managed to battle on. God's been good to us over the years. We've managed to see ministries develop among the college students, 180,000 college students nearby. In the medical community, Philadelphia is the third largest medical community in the country.
Wow.
I think every one in five doctors goes through Philadelphia.
I had the privilege years ago at one of the Philadelphia conferences on Reformed theology, I had the privilege of meeting Dr. C. Everett Koop, who was a member there, if I'm not mistaken.
A member and an elder, a longtime elder.
That's right, that's right.
And Surgeon General under Ronald Reagan, I believe.
Yes.
I knew him very briefly. He was elderly when I first came, and they moved to be near his family. But he's a very godly man.
And if you could, brother, just if you could continue to remember to keep your mouth as close to the mouthpiece of whatever you're speaking into, because sometimes you tend to drift away and get a little muffled. I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. Sorry.
Yeah, right now you're very good. Well, one of the things that we have a tradition of doing on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, when we have a first-time guest, we like that guest to give a summary of his or her salvation testimony, what kind of religious atmosphere you were raised in, what kind of providential circumstances our Sovereign Lord raised up in your life to draw you to himself and save you, etc. If you could, give us some of your background on how you came to know and love our Lord Jesus Christ.
So my father, was converted in his adult life at an open-air meeting where somebody was preaching. And he met my mother. My mother came from a fairly long-standing Christian family. My grandfather had been killed in a bombing raid in Glasgow during the Second World War. And my grandmother regularly entertained troops, American troops, who were coming through that area, through Glasgow, in her home. And I grew up listening to my grandmother's stories of some of these young men who'd come from all parts of the States, and their conversions and remarkable stories that of the way in which God had drawn them to himself. Those stories that my grandmother told were influential in my thinking, even as a little boy. She also used to tell me about preachers who'd come through the church that she went to, which was a mission hall that D.L. Moody had started, the American evangelist in the 19th century. And Billy Graham, before he was Billy Graham, preached there. Before he was famous, Donald Gray Barnhouse from 10th Presbyterian preached there, in fact.
Wow.
And she told me about his preaching, and I found a little prayer card advertising the meetings in August of 1939, before war was declared in September. He was in Glasgow for the whole month preaching at my parents' church, and I kept that prayer card in my Bible all of my life, actually. And therein lies the story. And if you want to hear the completion of that story, you can ask me later on. But the influence of my grandmother was great, I think. And I'm one of these people who cannot remember a time in their life when they didn't love the Lord Jesus. And I mean love the Lord Jesus. Not only love the Lord Jesus, but wanted to hear all I could about him. I went to church. I loved Sundays. I loved hearing the preaching. Our minister, it was a Baptist church, but it wasn't like a Southern Baptist church. Not that I'm casting aspersions there, but it was far more formal than a Southern Baptist church would be. But he would tell a children's talk every week in which he would tell perhaps a story of a missionary, and he would set us off to go in and discover what the name of this person was, give us the life story, and we'd go and find out who they were. Basically, I just drank in everything I could. Because we were in evangelical circles, there was great pressure, of course, to have a conversion experience. I would go along to these meetings. People would tell you to put up their hand and receive Christ. I put up my hand several times. It dawned on me one day, fairly early on, that why was I asking Jesus into my life, since I'd never been conscious of him not being in my life?
confessing these sins, yes, I spent in vanity and pride. Well, when you're 6 years of age, it's hard to remember years, spending years in vanity and pride, but I had a very tender conscience and kept examining myself about these things. I think with the help of my parents, I came to a place of peace and rest in trusting that Christ was my Savior and Lord. And at that point, there was only one issue that was in my mind, and that was the desire I had to be a preacher of the gospel. And I remember my father took me along to a tin hut that somebody had bought and was using as a startup for a youth work. And this guy was showing films of the Billy Graham Crusades or something. And I remember watching the young Billy Graham, who was a really dynamic preacher, and I watched him preach that night. And I went home, and I re-preached his sermon to my brother. My brother was in the top bunk. That was the gallery, and I re-preached the sermon. I was 10 years of age. And I managed to remember as much of the sermon as I could and preach it in a North Carolina accent. As you can tell, I didn't have a North Carolina accent. Eventually, I started preaching to real people. I did initially have something of an American twang, even though I was very much a Scotsman. anyway, 10 years of age, Saturday night, to this thing, I came home, practiced preaching. Monday afternoon after school, I went into the public library with my parents' tickets to the adult public section, and I got the first 6 books out of the religion section and took them home. And the first book was by a man called Karl Barth. It was called Evangelical Theology. I tried to read it, lots of big words. My mother asked me if I was understanding what I was reading. I said, well, I understand some of it. And she said, what do you think of it? And I said, this man has a strange view of the Bible, which I think for a 10-year-old was quite discerning.
Yeah, oh yeah. You could detect neo-orthodoxy as a young child.
Exactly. So that was the beginning, really. I started, at that point, started to prepare little sermons, started to read books. Within a couple of years, by the time I was nearly 13, I had become reformed in my theology by spontaneously reading the Bible for myself, basically. I was searching out books to read. I didn't know anyone alive, the church I went to, that were good, godly people, but nobody was into any kind of theology, really, of that kind. I tried to talk about it in my youth group. They asked me to speak. My very first time I spoke to the youth group, I preached on definite atonement, and they looked at me as if to there was something wrong with me.
Were you the only Calvinist in the room when you did that?
Absolutely. I was the only Calvinist in the church. I don't want to just cast aspersions. That church was a nurturing, environment, and I grew up in the protection of that church family, and it means that church still means a lot to me today, but there was certainly no Calvinist there. But that was good, because I think that was a good preparation for some of my ministry experiences where I was only Calvinist as well.
Did you know that you were a Calvinist, or did you just assume this is just what the Bible teaches?
Well, yeah, so when I started reading old books that I got out of the market, I realized that what some of these dead people believed was what I believed. I didn't know anybody alive who believed these things. Until when I was about 15, I think, I was preaching in the open air at a seaside, a mission down by the seaside, and a lady who was a colporteur who went around the towns and villages selling Christian books came up to me, and she had a couple of books she wanted to give to me, and she said, I listened to you preaching then, I think you're Calvinist, aren't you? And I said, well, I think I am. I said, you know what that means? Oh, yes, absolutely, she said. In fact, there's somebody coming to Glasgow that I wanted to go and hear in September. So she arranged for me and a number of others to meet up in September, and we went. And this elderly man was there. He got up to the lectern, and he said something like this. He said, "My dear friends, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews." it took me a little while to adjust to the accent. It was Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he preached for about an hour, and at the end of that period, I was sitting at the edge of my seat. And I remember distinctly praying to the Lord and saying, "Lord, you can take me home now. I've heard preaching."
Wow.
The first time. It was quite an experience for me.
Yeah, in fact, we're going to be talking about Martin Lloyd-Jones, God willing, this Wednesday on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio with my guest, Jeff Thomas. I'm assuming you know who Jeff Thomas is.
Oh, yes, I do indeed.
And he's going to be promoting a different conference where he is speaking, the Foundations Conference in New York City, which is a conference run by Sermon Audio. And I asked Reverend Thomas what he wanted to speak on. He immediately said, "Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones." And I'm thrilled because I don't believe in all the years that I've done this program since 2005, I don't think I've ever dedicated an entire two-hour program to Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And I'm amazed that I haven't, because he's such a vital figure in church history, and surely one of the greatest minds of the 20th century.
Absolutely. And listening to Lloyd-Jones preach, there is no comparison I can think of, really, today, in that it was an experience. It was more than simply listening to someone giving a good exposition of a text. There was a sense of God, a palpable sense of God, in his preaching, which we can't reproduce it. Whether it was the Holy Spirit was very powerful in working in our hearts and minds, probably that's what was going on. But I cannot think of anyone that I've heard since that has had that same sense of the presence of God, the weight of holiness, really, in his preaching, as he did.
Amen. Well, I never had the privilege of hearing him live in a church or chapel, but I have heard recordings of him, and it surely is a blessing to hear the recordings, but I know that it's never a comparison when you hear somebody right there in their presence preaching.
Yeah. It's the presence of the person, I think, to some degree that makes it. Yeah.
Amen. And a lot of folks might not know this, but Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was a Calvinist Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we are today not only discussing the theme of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, which is being held this weekend in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, to be exact, on the 26th, 27th, and 28th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But we are discussing one of the most controversial and, sadly, one of the primary issues that separates Reformed brethren from the rest of Christendom, and that is the issue of redemption accomplished and applied. And first of all, before I even go into the actual biblical concept, I'm assuming, and perhaps I'm guessing something that I don't know about you, but I'm assuming that the great work by John Murray, a great but brief work on the atonement, meant something powerful to you in regard to this subject?
One of the earliest books I ever bought was that book, and I think I bought that book by the age of 14 and read it about 10 times. It was very formative of the way in which I approached those particular scriptures. full understanding of the gospel, and it shaped the rest of my ministry, really. One of the key books I would recommend.
Yes, I would, if you're listening and you don't have that book, whether you are Reformed and just want to be blessed by having something that you believe reconfirmed, or if you are Reformed and you want to be able to be more capable of sharing and explaining the doctrine of limited atonement or definite atonement or particular redemption or substitutionary atonement with your Arminian or non-Reformed friends, this would be an ideal book. Because it's also not a weighty tome. It's a very brief book. And I will give you information. I know the Banner of Truth has an edition of it that you could get at banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org. But there are other publishers that also have that, I believe, or at least sell the Banner of Truth edition of it. But this is a doctrine, just to tell you briefly about my own discovery of it. When I was first a born-again believer, after having been raised Roman Catholic, I came to an understanding of the true gospel in my mid-20s, and I at first thought of, just as many Arminians and non-Calvinists do, I thought of the doctrine of limited atonement, and in fact unconditional election as well, as horrible and ugly and just terrifying concepts. But when the Lord opened my eyes to these truths, the doctrine of definite atonement personalized my faith in so much more of a radical way, my faith with Christ. It's interesting, I don't know if you have any kind of similar thoughts, Pastor Goliger, but many Reformed people criticize Arminianism and the church at large outside of the Reformed faith as being too individual and personal and not stressing enough the importance of the corporate body of Christ, and I think that those criticisms are accurate. But at the same time, when I discovered and believed the doctrine of definite atonement, it made me realize for the first time that when Jesus Christ was breathing his last breath up on Calvary, I was actually on his mind. It wasn't a faceless sea of humanity that he was dying for, and dying for an endless, innumerable sea of humanity with just a hope that they would become redeemed. He actually redeemed me on Calvary, and it was a signed, sealed, and delivered, mission accomplished, and it radicalized my personal understanding of God's love for me, of Christ's death for me personally. Did you have any kind of a similar thought on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mentioned my very first public talk to my youth fellowship was on definite atonement. One of the things that struck me from the very beginning was in my favorite chapter of the Bible, John chapter 17, as Jesus is as acting as the high priest, and he is consecrating the sacrifice that's going to be offered for the sins of his people. As he's doing that, he says to his Father, for these I sanctify myself, for those you've given me out of the world. They belong to you, you've given them to me, and for their sakes I consecrate myself. That is, he is setting himself aside to be the sacrifice that will be offered on the altar of Calvary for the sins of those the Father has given to him. It is those people that he had chosen out of the world and that belong to him that he is setting himself apart so that he might be the sacrifice that redeems them.
Amen.
And every word of that, every word in that section of John 17 embraces me, embraces you, it embraces each individual person that God has chosen and given to Christ. And that's beyond words, really.
Amen. And my friend, you may have heard of him. He's a longtime, very close friend of mine, Dr. James R. White of Alpha Omega Ministries. When he has debated on the issue of limited or definite atonement, He has focused on the high priestly prayer because it is so clear in those texts. We are going to our very first break right now. If you'd like to join us on the air, the question for Reverend Liam Gollinger on the atonement, or you could really ask any question involving the Reformed faith, that would be fine. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us, as always, your first name, at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Liam Gollinger and Redemption Accomplished and Applied right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m. 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
One sure way all Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners can help keep my show on the air is to support my advertisers. I know you all use batteries every day, so I'm urging you all from now on to exclusively use BatteryDepot.com for all your battery needs. At BatteryDepot.com, they're changing the status quo. They're flipping the script. They're sticking it to the man. In other words, they'd like to change the battery industry for good by providing an extensive inventory of top-of-the-line batteries that are uniformly new, dependable, and affordable. Ordering from BatteryDepot.com ensures you'll always get fresh out-of-the-box batteries you can count on to work properly at competitive prices. Whether you need batteries for cordless phones, cell phones, radios, PCs, laptops, tablets, baby monitors, hearing aids, smoke detectors, credit card readers, digital cameras, electronic cigarettes, GPSs, MP3 players, watches, or nearly anything else you own that needs batteries, go to BatteryDepot.com. Next day shipping available. All products protected by 30-day guarantees and 6-month warranties. Call 866-403-3768. That's 866-403-3768. Or go to BatteryDepot.com. That's BatteryDepot.com.
My name is Steve Lawson, founder and president of One Passion Ministries, as well as teaching fellow for Ligonier Ministries. I serve as professor of preaching and oversee the Doctor of Ministry program at the Master's Seminary in Los Angeles. I would like to recommend the church where one of my preaching students, Andy Woodard, serves as the pastor. It's called New Covenant Church, NYC. They are a Reformed Baptist church that meets in Midtown Manhattan. You can find their service times and location on their website, which is www.ncc.nyc. They believe in a sovereign God who commands all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. If you're looking for a church that believes in expository preaching, which is simply biblical preaching, in New York City, I'd like to recommend that you visit New Covenant Church, NYC. Again, their information can be found at www.ncc.nyc. Have a great day.
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group.org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And our friends at Solid Ground Christian Books also have published the first 3 years of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology in a written transcript form. They have taken the sermons from those three Philadelphia conferences on Reformed theology and turned them into a book. Well, actually, they were in print from another publisher. And then I should say that Solid Ground Christian Books brought that book back into print. And if you would like to have that book, I think it would be a very valuable volume in your library. From 1974, 1975, and 1976, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. The book is called Our Sovereign God. And you can go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is Pastor Liam Gallagher, and he is the senior minister at the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which began those conferences I just mentioned, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, which is now being held in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. But we are discussing the theme right now of the upcoming Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology in Bryn Mawr, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. We have a listener who said, this is Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania, who says, "My Arminian friends are constantly telling me that there is no biblical support for the doctrine of limited or definite atonement. I know that you already brought up the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. Can you mention some other biblical texts that would support, if not outright prove, limited or definite atonement?"
So, when the angel is speaking to Joseph, the father of Jesus, the stepfather or official father of Jesus on earth, he's making a reference to the naming of Jesus. He tells Joseph that Jesus is to be called Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah saves. And the mission that Jesus has as Jehovah who saves, the mission is he will save his people from their sins. Now, that the language of his people, in the global view of the Bible, it refers to the people that God has chosen, refers to the Israel of God. God chooses Israel for himself, calls them his people. He will be to them their God. They will be to him his people. He has these people in view. These people are going to be extended to include Gentiles. And so when Jesus goes to the cross and dies for
for these people and secures their salvation. Jesus is enacting his own name by becoming who he is, that is, Jehovah who saves. And whom did he save? He saves his people from their sins. So that the very name Jesus in itself, in the way in which it's used in the Gospels, of him as the Savior, has a distinguishing element to it, because he comes to save his people from their sins. So I think that is one major line of thought behind definite atonement.
Yes, and one of the verses that I bring up as well, even though many people might not recognize this text to specifically discuss the nature of the atonement, but I think it really speaks loud and clear about it, and that's in Ephesians chapter 5, where we have in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having not spot nor wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. To me, because of the fact that Paul is obviously telling husbands to love their wives in a unique way outside any other person or woman in the world, the fact that Christ laid down his life for her, to me, meaning the church, that it's a picture of the church, it would not make sense if Christ laid down his life for every single woman or person in the world. Am I making sense here?
Absolutely. I think that's very important, because the in the Old Testament, Israel, who are the people of God, is described as the wife of the Lord, Jehovah. In the New Testament, the church is called the bride of Jehovah Jesus. And the link in both of those is that the work of redemption is accomplished for them. I mean, the other passage, if we're looking for another one, is in Ephesians chapter 1 itself, in which God is blessed for blessing the church that Paul is writing to, and he identifies with the church in Ephesus, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. He begins with the choice of God. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. He chose us with a view to adoption as sons through Jesus, for the praise of his glorious grace, in which he has blessed us in the beloved, that is, in the Lord Jesus. In him we, that is, those who have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he set forth in Christ. In other words, if you follow the line of thinking there, Paul is speaking about the church, he's speaking about the church in Ephesus, he's speaking about the church more broadly, he's speaking about those whom God has chosen for adoption and the redemption of those people through the blood of Christ on their behalf. So definite atonement runs through that entire section in Ephesians chapter 1.
And do you think that very often the errors in Christendom when it comes to the atonement, they start very often with a wrong emphasis, especially when you're talking about our evangelical Protestant friends who are not Reformed, who are Arminian, even if they wouldn't call themselves that. They focus too much on the people for whom Christ died rather than what Christ did when he died. And as the theme of the Philadelphia Conference of Reformed Theology insinuates, or boldly states, more than insinuates, redemption accomplished and applied. It's interesting that if you ask your average Arminian Christian, as I have done, I've said, do you believe that the redemption is totally accomplished by Christ on the cross? They will say yes. And I will say to them, well, do you believe Christ died for every single person that has ever lived and will ever live, even those that are in hell? Yes, I do. Well, how could their redemption be accomplished then? And I usually get a pause of silence, and then another text is brought up. They run away from the issue of what actually happened on Calvary. Isn't that really the most important thing to be focusing on, is what did Christ do on Calvary?
Yes, I think the driving principle is when it says that he shall save his people. Question, did he or did he not?
Yes.
When it says God chose us for adoption and in Christ we have redemption, did he redeem us or not? And I think the answer of definite atonement is that Jesus does what he came to do. He achieves the result that he came to achieve. He secures the people for himself that he came to secure. And it seems to me we can say about the death of Jesus, this is the death of the God-man. By virtue of the fact that it's the death of the God-man, it has a supreme value. It has an infinite value and worth. But that's not saying why he did it. He did it to secure eternally the salvation of his people. And that's precisely what we find that he does. The people that he died for are saved.
Amen. And I have had a friend of mine, and I've had others bring this up as well, but I'm thinking specifically of one pastor friend of mine who is a fundamentalist Baptist and vehement anti-Calvinist, but I can still remember him during a disagreement that we were having. He brought up John 1:29, where the next day he saw Jesus coming to him, this is John the Baptist, and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And I said to him, well, you're putting the emphasis on the word world. How about, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? And if you believe that he takes away the sin of the entire world, hell would be empty. There would be no such place as a place of eternal conscious torment. He takes away the sin. That is, I think, the more glorious and amazing aspect of this declaration, is that he takes away the sin. It has to mean, the only way that this makes sense, unless you are a full-blown universalist who believes everyone, including Satan, will be in heaven, it makes no sense to view this in any other way than to believe that the world, in contrast to Israel, meaning those from out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. But maybe you have a different approach to that, but if you could.
Yeah, if you look at John's Gospel, it seems to me that one of the key moments in John's Gospel is in chapter 4, where Jesus meets a Samaritan woman. What's interesting about that whole event is that the richest theology that Jesus gives to anybody in the Gospel of John, he gives to that Samaritan woman. He teaches her about the Trinity. But the upshot of his interaction with that woman is that she goes to the people in her village and she says, this is the Savior of the world that's come. In other words, she learned from talking to this Jew. I mean, and Jesus was very straight with her. He told her salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is of the Jews. But she took it that he had come as a Jew into her village in order that he might save her and save people in her village who were Samaritan and not Jews. In other words, she understood the mission of Jesus on the basis of the conversation she had with him to be a mission that involved the world, that is, as you just said, people from every tribe and nation, fulfilling the promise to Abraham that
through him, all the nations and all the families of the earth, would be blessed. So when I think we, if we're going to be consistent here, what is meant in chapter 4 must be the same as is meant in chapter 1, that the world has to do with the extent of the spread of the salvation that he will accomplish for his people. His people are going to be drawn from all the families of the earth.
Yeah, I think the greater burden is on the part of those who believe in a universal atonement, that reject limited or particular atonement or definite atonement. The greater burden is on their part to find anywhere in the scripture where Jesus, through his death, provided a hypothetical redemption.
Yes, correct.
Where he was just making salvation possible, not saving anyone. I can recall hearing a quote by a Nazarene seminary professor who rightly understood, and when I say rightly understood, I don't mean that he correctly understood what the scriptures teach, but he rightly understood the dilemma in the fact that Arminians use the term today anyway. They use the term equally with Calvinists, substitutionary atonement. I mean, this seminary professor, this Nazarene Arminian, Wesleyan Arminian seminary professor, realized that that could not be true, and he was actually chiding or chastising, scolding his fellow Arminians for using the term substitutionary atonement. And he said, do not use that term, because if Jesus died for all, and he died as a substitute for every single person that ever lived, everyone would be going to heaven. And that does... That is the only way that you could logically understand it if you have a universal understanding of the atonement. Am I right?
Absolutely. Correct. Totally. I mean, he's either a successful savior or he's a maybe savior.
Right.
And we can't have a maybe savior. We need a savior who saves to the uttermost. And that is the savior we have. And we don't need to shy away from the words like the world, or I will draw all men unto myself. He will draw all that the Father has given them to himself, and they will come from all men, all that is all kinds of men, and all parts of the world. So that we find ourselves today, the church is actually mostly in Africa and Asia and South America, not mostly in the Northern Hemisphere anymore, but God is drawing people to himself from every part of the globe.
Yes, do you think that one of the reasons why so many people, especially in Western culture, they have been raised, and Christians have been raised for centuries, the majority of the Christian era has been dominated by Gentile Christians, and they forget how amazing and even infuriating the understanding of God's people being outside of the ethnic people of Israel. They don't get that concept. So when the word world is being used in the New Testament, it's a powerful thing that is lost on the Gentile ear, perhaps. They don't understand how that would have, if somebody was an unregenerate Jewish person who was religious, that would have made them furious, and of course they would be forgetting their own Hebrew scriptures about they were supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. That was something that annoyed and greatly infuriated people who were Jewish, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the book of Isaiah, for example, chapter 2, you have the nations, the Gentiles, the Goyim, coming to a Jew and asking the way of salvation. And Jesus is that Jew who brings salvation to the Gentile world. You have them later on in Isaiah coming like doves back to their nests, like coming from all the ends of the earth, and they're coming to Zion, the city of God, and they're becoming part of the people of God. When that woman of Samaria went and told those people in her village, is this the Savior of the world? she understood herself to belong to the world that is outside of Judaism. And for her, this was the greatest of all good news, is that Jesus had come for someone like her, not only morally and so on, but because of her religious background and because she was outside of Judaism, mixed race, whatever. And yet he'd come for her. That chapter 4 of John is a significant chapter in understanding what's going on. And then the second chapter, the 12th chapter, where the Greeks come seeking Jesus, and Jesus speaks to them about his being glorified through the cross and so on, and that he falls into the ground. He'll come forth and bring forth fruit abundantly and so on. And that includes the Gentiles. So that's a much bigger thing. You're quite right. That's a much bigger thing, a thing that we forget. We don't think enough of the scandal of that there was to the people of Jesus' day.
Yes, and Charles Spurgeon has brought up in the 19th century how totally ironic it would be that Christ would die for the sins of people already in hell before he was even nailed to the cross. And of course, I think chronologically, I believe that the lake of fire where the damned are cast into, I think that is a future event to us now. But obviously, after death, there is some form of hell that the lost are cast into before their bodies are raised. They're raised and they are thrown both body and soul into hell, but they are still in hell, and it makes no sense for Jesus to have gotten up on that cross and died for those people too. If you believe in a universal atonement, that's the only way that you could understand that. Even those that were already dead with no hope of salvation, he died for them as well. It doesn't make any sense, as Spurgeon, I think, wisely pointed out.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, if you could, in 2 minutes, summarize, before we move on to our next theme, which is sanctification by grace in our next hour, if you could summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners regarding redemption accomplished and applied.
It is that when our Lord Jesus came from heaven and was named as Jehovah Saves, it was his great mission in life to enact in his life, death, and resurrection what his name prophesied and meant. He was Yahweh. In other words, he was the Lord. He was himself, Jehovah, come to save his people. He's the one who had come to comfort the people with the great message of comfort you find in Isaiah 40, that to proclaim that the warfare was ended, the enmity between God and man resolved, that iniquity was pardoned, and that God had come to give double mercy for all their sins. All of that in the Lord who would come. Here he has arrived to achieve it, and he achieves it on the cross, where he pays the ransom. The ransom is the cost of his own life, where he redeems us from the curse, from death, from sin, from Satan, where he propitiates, turns away the wrath of God against us. He himself feels the impact of that wrath on himself. And as he dies the death we should have died in our place as our representative. In doing that, what does he achieve? He achieves the bringing of many sons into glory. Out of the agony of his soul, he achieves a full and final and complete salvation for his people.
Amen. Jesus saves. He doesn't try. Jesus saves.
Yeah.
And we are going to our midway break right now. If you have a question for Liam Gallagher, we do have people waiting to have their questions asked and answered still. But if you want to get in line and have your own question asked and answered, please send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Please always give us your first name, at least city and state, country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. This is our longer than normal station break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us this elongated break midway through our program because they air their own public service announcements and commercials in Lake City, Florida, to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to that area of the country. They air their own commercials while we air our globally heard commercials. So during this station break, please use this time to write down the information provided by our advertisers so that you can more successfully and more frequently patronize them, because the more you patronize our advertisers, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, which subsequently means the more likely we will remain in existence, because we rely on the advertising dollars from our sponsors to continue broadcasting Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please write down the information provided by our advertisers. Also write down questions for our guest, Reverend Liam Gulliger. And our email address again is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away, God willing. We will be right back after these messages with more of Liam Gulliger and our theme, Sanctification by Grace.
Tired of box store Christianity, of doing church in a warehouse with all the trappings of a rock concert? Do you long for a more traditional and reverent style of worship? And how about the preaching? Perhaps you've begun to think that in-depth biblical exposition has vanished from Long Island. Well, there's good news. Wading River Baptist Church exists to provide believers with a meaningful and reverent worship experience, featuring the systematic exposition of God's Word. And this loving congregation looks forward to meeting you. Call them at 631-929-3512 for service times, 631-929-3512, or check out their website at wrbc.us. That's wrbc.us.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. The New American Standard Bible is perfect for daily reading or in-depth study. Used by pastors, scholars, and everyday readers, the NASB is widely embraced and trusted as a literal and readable Bible translation. The NASB offers clarity and readability while maintaining high accuracy to the original languages, which the NASB is known for. The NASB is available in many editions, like a topical reference Bible. Researched and prepared by biblical scholars devoted to accuracy, the new topical reference Bible includes contemporary topics relevant to today's issues. From compact to giant print Bibles, find an NASB that fits your needs very affordably at nasbible.com. Whichever edition you choose, trust, discover, and enjoy the NASB for yourself today. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com.
Hello, my name is James Renahan, and I'm the president of IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. The Word of God says, if a man desires the office of an overseer, he desires a good thing. Do you have the desire to serve Jesus Christ in pastoral ministry? 20 years ago, the Institute of Reformed Baptist Studies at Westminster Seminary, California was born. For those two decades, these institutions worked together to train men for ministry in Reformed Baptist churches. It has been a wonderful partnership. Now we have advanced our school into an independent seminary offering a full program of courses leading to the Master of Divinity degree. This is IRBS Theological Seminary. We believe that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are the inspired and inerrant Word of God, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who came to save sinners by his life, death, and resurrection, and that the task of the church is to honor and serve the triune God in all things. IRBS Theological Seminary is dedicated by God's grace to preparing godly ministers who will be committed to these doctrines. Do you sense a call to serve Jesus Christ and his church as a pastor? Why not consider IRBS Theological Seminary? You'll find more information at irbsseminary.org. That's irbsseminary.org, two S's in the middle. I hope to hear from you soon. God bless you.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology.
Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
I'm Dr. Gary Kimbrell, pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Laurel, Mississippi. God tells us in James 1:27 that pure and undefiled religion is to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. In the providence of God, 3 years ago, I discovered a poor small church outside Lusaka, Zambia, in a township called Kabanana, who are taking care of 24 orphans. I found them just at the time when they had lost all their funding. What was I to do? Could I just say, God bless you, and walk away? The situation of the children sat heavily upon me. As I was praying concerning this need, it came to me, I trust from the Lord, to tell the orphans' plight to a broader audience. The entire need for their clothing, food, education, and some medical services is $73 per month per child. If just 50 of us would give $35 a month, we could meet the need. Bethlehem Baptist Church will pay the fee to get the funds there. So if you give a dollar will get to the orphans. In this season of hope and giving, will you consider giving hope to 24 orphans? Please send your gift of any amount to Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 3944. Or donate through our website, bbclaurel.com. Again, the address is Bethlehem Baptist Church, 838 Reed Road, Laurel, Mississippi, 39443, or bbclaurel.com. Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor, frequent co-host with Chris Ironson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I would like to introduce you to my good friends Todd and Patty Jennings at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Todd and Patty specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable to everyone. Since 1987, the family-owned and operated book service has sought to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means that you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting material promoted by the secular book vendors. Their website is cvbbs.com. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence as Todd and Patty work in service to you, the church, and to Christ. That's Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Let Todd and Patty know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget that solid-ground-books.com has Our Sovereign God in print. That is the written transcripts from the sermons of the first 3 years of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology
1974, 1975, and 1976. So go to solid-ground-books.com and order that book, that very important book that every Christian should have in their library, and also a supply of them to give out to family, friends, and loved ones. And please remember, whenever you are giving a gift, please remember solid-ground-books.com, because they help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio alive through their sponsorship. That's solid-ground-books.com. The book is Our Sovereign God, the First 3 Years of the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Before I return to our guest today, who is Liam Gallagher, the senior minister at the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we just have some important announcements to make regarding upcoming events that I hope that you all will attend, especially if you geographically are able to do so. The first is actually an interview that I'm going to let you know about or remind you about. Tomorrow, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Jeff Kingswood is my pastor, my guest. Although I would love to have Jeff Kingswood as a pastor, even though I love my current pastors. Not saying I want to jump ship and go to another church, but Jeff Kingswood would be a fine pastor for any Christian. He is the pastor of Grace Presbyterian Church of Woodstock, Ontario, Canada, and he is going to be addressing the person and work of the Holy Spirit tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So I hope that you listen 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to hear Jeff Kingswood. Also, the conference that we have been discussing, the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th, 27th, and 28th. And it is being held at the Proclamation Presbyterian Church in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. The theme is the theme that we discussed during the first hour of our program today, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. The guest speakers at this conference are my guest today, Liam Gallagher, and also D.A. Carson, a really extraordinary Baptist preacher who is also a Reformed brother, Kevin DeYoung, and David Murray. I'm looking forward to, God willing, hearing David Murray this weekend. He is such a gift to God's church, a professor at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who's been on this program a number of times. And David Murray was actually a personal blessing to me enormously after my precious late wife went home to be with the Lord. And it was great to have David minister to me and give me his book on depression, and I will never forget him for that. But if you want more information on this conference, which is being held, as I said, this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 26th, 27th, and 28th of April, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, and then scroll down to Redemption Accomplished and Applied, and that is the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Coming up after that, coming up in May, let's see here, we have, it's still in this month of April. In fact, it's this week as well. It's the 25th through the 27th. That is Dort 400, Safeguarding the Reformed Tradition, a conference of the Protestant Reformed Church. And the speakers include Ronald Kaminga, Professor Barrett Gritters, Reverend Brian Heisinger, Professor Doug Kuyper, Reverend Bill Langerak, Reverend Mark Shand, and Reverend Angus Stewart. And that will be held at the Trinity Protestant Reformed Church in Hudsonville, Michigan. If you'd like to attend that conference, go to dort400.org, dort400.org. When you're spelling Dort or typing Dort, don't forget there is two Ds. There are two Ds in Dort, D as in David, O-R, D as in David, T, 400.org, dort400.org, celebrating the 400th anniversary of the Synod of Dort. Then we go to the month of May, which is just around the corner. I am having my next Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Thursday, May 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That's Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. My guest speaker is Dr. Tony Casa,
professor of apologetics and Islam at the Toronto Baptist Seminary in Canada. He is going to be speaking on how the Dead Sea Scrolls vindicate the reliability of the Holy Scriptures. That's Dr. Tony Costa, Thursday, May 23rd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Carlisle Fire and Rescue Banquet Hall in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. It's free of charge for all men in ministry leadership. This is exclusively a men's conference, whether you are a pastor or an elder, and I happen to believe those are the same office, a deacon, a parachurch ministry leader, whatever kind of male leadership position you hold in the church, you are welcome to come for free. And not only is your admission free and hearing Dr. Costa's message free and the food is free, but you're also going to be getting a very heavy sack of brand new free books donated by most of the major Christian publishers in the United States and the UK. I select a title from each of these publishers, and they donate 100 copies of each title so that every man in attendance can go home with a copy of the title that I select from each publisher. So you'll be getting a couple of dozen free books at least when you leave that, absolutely free of charge. There's no hidden agenda, no ulterior motive. At the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, this was the brainchild of my precious late wife in the early 1990s, who said to me, instead of exchanging Christmas gifts, let's use that money to treat your pastor friends to a free Christmas lunch. And I agreed, and we did that for years. My wife went home to the Lord for eternity, and I relaunched these pastor's luncheons, and they continue to grow numerically. And I just hope that as many of you can come as possible. Just please, for the sake of having a head count, let me know ahead of time as soon as possible. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Then after that, the Banner of Truth East Coast Ministers Conference is being held May 28th through the 30th. That's Tuesday, May 28th. Through Thursday, May 30th, in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at Elizabethtown College, on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit. Speakers include the aforementioned Jeff Kingswood, who's my guest tomorrow on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Terry Johnson, David Vaughn, Stephen Nichols, who's the president of Reformation Bible College, the college founded by the late R.C. Sproul and Ligonier Ministries, Michael Morales, and Chad Vegas. That's May 28th through the 30th in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. If you would like to register for the conference on the theme, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, that's the East Coast Ministers Conference of the Banner of Truth. Go to banneroftruth.org, banneroftruth.org, click on events, and then scroll down to East Coast Ministers Conference. I will be there, God willing, and so please look for me. Ask around, where's Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? And hopefully you'll be able to find me. I want to meet as many of my Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners as possible at this event. Another event that I am registered for and looking forward to with bated breath is the Foundations Conference in New York City, Manhattan, to be specific. This is a conference of sermon audio, and I love going to this conference. It's being held this year on December 19th and the 20th. And it is featuring a really phenomenal lineup of speakers. Dr. Stephen J. Lawson, who you've been hearing advertising New Covenant Church NYC in Manhattan, one of the sponsors of this program. He is founder of One Passion Ministries and one of the best preachers alive. Paul Washer, another one of America's finest preachers, will be speaking on this roster, God willing. Reverend Jeff Thomas, who is from Wales, a retired minister from Wales. I don't think that that's actually his homeland, but that's where he's lived for many years and was a pastor up until recently and is now an itinerant evangelist and author full-time, and he is one of the finest preachers that you can ever hear anywhere. He's going to be my guest this Wednesday as well, so mark your calendars for that when we speak on Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Reverend Armin Tomasian, he is an extraordinary young man, a very young pastor, but he has preaching gifts and abilities far beyond his youth, and I believe he's going to be a household name amongst Reformed Christians over the next decade. He is truly extraordinary, Reverend Armin Tomasian. Reverend Richard Caldwell Jr. and Reverend Andrew Quigley are two men I have not heard yet preach, but I'm looking forward to hearing them at the Foundations Conference. Go to thefoundationsconference.com. to register, thefoundationsconference.com. Do so as quickly as you can because they can only hold about 200 people at this venue in Manhattan. Remember, it's December 19th and 20th. Go to thefoundationsconference.com. Then the G3 conference is being held this January 2020, and I am already registered for that as well. I am so excited about this conference this coming January, which will be on worship, and it is being held Thursday, January 16th through Saturday, January 18th. The speakers include Kosti Hinn, a remarkable pastor who is actually, believe it or not, the nephew of the notorious charlatan faith healer Benny Hinn. Well, Kosti Hinn has repented of word of faith heresies, and his mission in life is to expose those charlatans, including his own uncle. He is a Reformed Baptist and cessationist now, Kosti Hinn. He is on the roster at the G3 conference this January. David Miller, who is a really fiery preacher, old school preacher. I really love hearing David Miller proclaim the gospel. Derek Thomas, what a phenomenal addition and blessing to the body of Christ he is. He is on the roster. My dear friend since the 1990s, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, will be speaking. Joel Beakey, a very good friend of mine going back to the 90s as well. Josh Bice, the founder of the G3 conference. Paul Washer, once again, he is on the roster at this conference. Stephen Lawson, again, is going to be speaking there. My friend Tom Askell, president of Founders Ministries. And Vody Baucom, another one of the most extraordinary preachers that we have on the planet Earth today. Well, if you want to register for the G3 conference, which I said is on the theme of worship this January 2020, go to g3conference.com. G3conference.com. Last but not least, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want this program to disappear, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. And please don't forget that I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving to their local church in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't ever do that. Don't ever put your family in financial jeopardy by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God to provide for your church and your home. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money in a benevolent fund, please give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as much as you can and as heavily as you can. And that is at ironsharpensironradio.com. Click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check via snail mail to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. If you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church and you're having a hard time finding one, please send me an email. I can help you. My email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church home" in the subject line. I have lists of faithful churches all over the world. I have helped many people in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience find churches near them. And some of my listeners have asked for help finding a church where they're going on vacation. I have also helped them. Remember, if you're not prayerfully looking for a church, if you are not currently a member of one, you're living in rebellion against God. So please rectify that situation. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and say, "I need a church home." If you can advertise with Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, also send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. And put advertising in the subject line. As long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe, we would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something that's compatible with what I believe. Send the email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line, because we really do urgently need your advertising dollars. We are facing some financially scary times right now. There are some unpaid bills that we have that we really need your help to pay. So please help us do that prayerfully. And we thank you in more ways than the human language can possibly convey. We are now back with our guest today, Pastor Liam Gallagher, of the senior minister of 10th Presbyterian Church, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We are now discussing sanctification by grace, and we are promoting the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology, which is being held this weekend, 26th, 27th, and 28th of April. If you'd like to join us, send us an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question for Pastor Gallagher, Please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question is personal and private. If you could, Pastor Gallagher, if you could define what sanctification means, this is, I think, a very important thing to know what that means, because you have the Roman Catholic Church and you have cults blurring the distinction between justification and sanctification, and that is a very serious and deadly error to make. But if you could, define sanctification.
Well, perhaps, as you've just indicated, we need to clarify that justification is God's declaration of our pardon and acceptance, the fact that we have been put right with God, that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is an absolute declarative act on God's behalf of in relation to us. And our justification is received by faith as we trust in Christ and in Christ alone for our salvation. Sanctification, on the other hand, is not a declaration. It is a work that is begun in the life, in the heart, the mind, the soul of the believer. So we're moving from a declarative act, which is the judge on the bench declaring someone to be something that they were not before, from condemnation to justification. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit by which we are made more and more like the God who has saved us, which is to say we are made more holy because God is holy. Now, holiness, let me just think about holiness for a moment. Holiness is something we say about God. God is the Holy One of Israel. He is referred to as the Holy One in our midst. And when we use the word holy of God, we're using it in an absolute sense. God is not like us. So when we talk about the holiness of God, we're talking about the fact that he is incomparable. He is ineffable. We can't get our heads around him. He is infinitely above us. He's self-existing, self-originating, self-sustaining, and is outside of all of our categories. We're not saying that holiness is a thing. There was a man once wrote a book. Rudolf Otto was his name, called Das Heilige, the Holy, as if the Holy was a kind of thing, phenomena, or something. No, when we talk about the holiness of God, we're talking about who God is all the way through, if I can use that language. We sometimes talk about the attributes of God, holy, wise, love, and so on. But we mustn't think of those things as if those are appendages to God. God does not have appendages. God is who he is. God, his essence, is the fact that he exists. I am, he says. So he's holy all the way through, and all the way through he is not us. He's not a creature. He is not comparable to anything within our experience, and is set apart from everything. And yet, here's where the grace aspect comes in. In Scripture, the very thing that makes God different from us and apart from us, and dare I say it, against us because we are unholy, the very thing that is God's holiness is the very way in which God approaches humans. So when God comes to Moses in the desert, God says, take off your shoes and off your feet, for the ground on which you're standing is holy ground. The self-burning fire, the self-fueling fire that Moses sees is an image, a picture of God's self-originating life. And God approaches Moses on the basis of his holiness. When God comes to Isaiah in the temple, God appears to him in his majestic splendor, the majesty of God. And the angels, the seraphim, are singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is full of your glory. And the prophet begins to come apart because he to be
be in the presence of God is to be in the presence of holiness, and holiness is destructive of sin. And Isaiah realizes, I'm a sinner, and he's beginning to be destroyed. But God reaches out of his holiness, this man, and cleanses him. And then ultimately, when God appears, when God comes into the world himself, in our human nature, when God becomes flesh, comes as the Holy One, the demons recognize that. They refer to Jesus as the Holy One of God. When the angel is telling Mary about his conception, he refers to Jesus, conceived in Mary's womb, as the Holy One. The disciples said of Jesus that he was holy, harmless, and undefiled. When God comes actually to be for us in salvation, he comes as the Holy One. So the very thing that makes him different from us is the very vehicle through which he comes and approaches us. And then supremely, of course, when we come to know Christ by salvation, the new birth is the work of the Holy Spirit, who comes to dwell within us. So he is the Holy One, not only in our midst, but he is the Holy One within us. The indwelling Holy Spirit begins a work in the believer's heart and life. And so sanctification is the working out of the presence of the Holy One within the believer, the individual believer, whom Paul calls a saint, Holy One. We have been made holy by the presence of the Holy One in our midst and within us through the Holy Spirit. So that's the beginning of an understanding, I think, where we're going from.
We have a listener named Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, who says, is not one of the reasons why it is very dangerous and deadly to mix sanctification and justification as if they are the same thing, is because sanctification, unlike our justification, involves human effort?
Yes, we have to distinguish between God's declaration of our salvation, which is rested entirely on the work of Christ for us, and the sanctification that God is working within us. Now, I think we in sanctification, the work of the Holy Spirit is to renew us from the inside, renewing our thoughts and enabling our works to be good, number one, and two, to be pleasing to God. So before I'm a Christian, my works aren't good and my works aren't pleasing to God. That is not to say that I don't do good things before I become a Christian. It's not to say that I don't help people or love people or care for people. But they don't count with God. But when I become a Christian and the Holy Spirit is dwelling within me, he cleans up all my works so that they are recognizable, if you like, to God. We're using human language here. Recognizable as good. And two, they are pleasing to God. And what the Holy Spirit does in the whole work of sanctification is to encourage in terms of our affections, in terms of the interest that we have, us towards love and good works. And they're entirely the work of the Holy Spirit, stirring them up within us. And we are freed by the Holy Spirit to cooperate with God as a result of our being born again and having the Holy Spirit indwell us. So your caller is right to distinguish very, very clearly justification and sanctification. and to emphasize that in sanctification, we are not working for our salvation, we're working from our salvation. We're working our salvation out in the attitudes and actions, motivations, as well as the ministry and life that we live as we begin to show Christ in these things.
Amen. And would an analogy be proper, although many analogies, if not most, that are not purely out of the pages of Scripture fall short in some way. But if a child loves his parents, he is going to, when especially when he is old enough to do things for his parents, he's going to perhaps mow their lawn, he's going to do repairs around their home, he's going to, especially when they are elderly, purchase groceries for them and do things for them that they could not do themselves, that perhaps they couldn't even leave the homes where they live. They have reached a point of being elderly or disabled, and the children who truly love their parents are going to be caring for them. They don't become their children by doing those things. They don't win the prize of being considered children because they care for their parents and do good deeds for their parents. They do those things because they are true children of their parents who truly love them. Would that be in some way an analogy of the difference between justification and sanctification? Because in this sense...
Yes, I think that would be a good way to distinguish the two things. Yeah. We are now children of God by adoption, but not only by adoption, principally by adoption, but also because he has imparted his nature to us. He has given us a bit of God, we might say, in giving us the Holy Spirit. That's a very bad way of expressing it. By giving us the Holy Spirit, he has given us both the Spirit, and as Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room, I'm sending you another comforter who's the same as me, who will be with you, and he will be in you. And he will come to you, and I will come to you, and my Father and I will come to you. Because you can't have one member of the Trinity without having the Trinity, because God is one. And so we have the Spirit of glory and of God dwelling within us. We are able... This is the thing. By having come to Christ as Christian people, we are able to obey God. We are able to say no to sin. We are able to be killing sin. We are able to obey the commandments because of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry about not being able to do it. We are enabled by the Spirit to obey God and to live for God in the world. Sometimes we need a bit of motivation. Sometimes we need to be rebuked. Sometimes we need to be stirred up to love and good works. But the ability lies within us because of our new birth.
We have Susan Margaret in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania, who says, there are ecumenists among us, even amongst our Reformed brethren, who believe that although these issues may have importance, they are not important enough to discount the brotherhood or sisterhood of someone who claims to be a Christian and yet denies justification by faith alone. Why is this so an important issue that we would disagree with them? Why is this, in other words, a salvific issue of the gospel itself? Why is it so important that we understand that Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin has left its crimson stain. He washes us white as snow. Why is that so important, as the hymn writer says?
Yeah. The essence of being a Christian is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That takes the new birth to be able to say that, to be able to know that in your heart, and in order to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
we are saved. That's what we're saved by. We're saved by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important, however, for the church to express the gospel and to explain the gospel in a biblical and coherent way, a biblical coherent way. And while there may be people who are saved, so they have the essence of salvation within them, they believe in Jesus as God, and they believe that God raised him from the dead, which is what it means to be saved, according to Romans 10 and 9. Nonetheless, it is for the bene esse, as it says in Latin, that is, no, the being of a Christian requires you to confess Jesus as Lord, but the well-being of you as a Christian is to understand more fully how it is that you are saved by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the well-being aspect is to be found in clear understanding of doctrine, clear understanding of the faith, and which is why it's such an important issue that we clarify the errors that there are in teaching about how salvation works. I think I would caution us all in saying this. We are not saved by whether or not we understand how salvation works. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, and by trusting in him and in him alone for salvation. That's what saves us. It's the faith in Christ that saves us. It's not faith in the explanation of that. If you go to Romans chapter 1, where Paul's describing in chapter 1 what the gospel is, he declares that it's the gospel of God, it's the gospel about God's Son. He's declared to be Son by his resurrection, by the work of the Spirit. That's what it means to be a Christian. The rest of Romans is taken up with explaining how it is that's what it takes to be a Christian. And so there are many people, I think, who trust in Christ, but have not heard the explanation. They need to be taught the explanation. They need to be taught Reformed theology if they're going to enjoy their Christian faith and have the assurance and joy of being part of the family of God. Does that make sense?
Yes. I think that I may understand you correctly if I look at the book of Galatians. The Apostle Paul, he despised the false gospel of the Judaizers, where anything was added to faith in order to justify a man. But he did treat the Judaizers, who were the actual evangelists of falsehood, they were the proselytizers of a damning gospel. He treated them differently than the Galatians, who were duped by them, at least temporarily duped by them.
Yes.
Because he does call, even though he scolds them and calls them fools and says they were bewitched, he calls them his brothers in the letter to Galatians. Yes. But he does not have any word of familial kindness to the Judaizers. He says that, you know, they are to be accursed.
That's right.
he doesn't offer a hope of salvation for them, if they remained that way, of course. So would you say that there is a difference between the patience God has when mixed up and confused people, especially in the earlier stages of their faith, may have in their minds? There's a difference between that and a pastor or a missionary or evangelist or a media personality or author who is a studied person whose life is dedicated to teach a gospel that is false.
That's correct. I think that there's those who teach will be judged all the more severely. And we have to warn people against the false teaching with absolute clarity, no hesitation about that. I think our churches are full of people who are confused, who don't grasp everything, just for a whole host of reasons. That's why we have to keep emphasizing the simplicity of faith in Christ as the basis of our salvation. And we must also emphasize the need to teach people so that the more they learn of the gospel, the more they learn why it is that their faith in Christ saves them, the more happy they'll be in Jesus. And that's one of the great goals of doctrinal teaching in the churches.
And don't you think, as merciful as God is, we know that he only has eternal mercy on his elect, and we should never be satisfied, not only in our own understanding, but in the understanding of our loved ones or neighbors. We should never be satisfied with, well, they say they believe in Jesus, but everything else they believe is idolatrous and taking credit for themselves for salvation. We'll let them pass on that, and we'll trust that they're our brothers and sisters. Don't we have to be more diligent to warn them of damnation because of these false beliefs?
They need taught. They need to be directed to the Scriptures. They need the Holy Spirit to open their eyes to these things, and we need to be praying for them and taking every opportunity to show them from the Scriptures the things that they need to grasp for understanding their faith. And if they're actually claiming to be trusting in works, then we need to challenge that, as Paul did with Peter. And we need to be challenging people as gently or as firmly or even as strongly as we need to, depending on the individual and the degree to which the individual is not grasping the fundamentals of the faith.
Well, we have to go to our final break right now. If you have a question for Liam Gallagher about sanctification, please send it in quickly because we are rapidly running out of time. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with more of Liam Gallagher and Sanctification by Grace.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is sponsored by Harvey Cedars, a year-round Bible conference and retreat center nestled on the Jersey Shore. Harvey Cedars offers a wide range of accommodations to suit groups up to 400. For generations, Christians have enjoyed gathering and growing at Harvey Cedars. Each year, thousands of high school and college students come and learn more about God's Word. An additional 9,000 come annually to Harvey Cedars as families, couples, singles, men, women, pastors, seniors, and missionaries. 90 miles from New York City, 70 miles from Philly, and 95 miles from Wilmington, and easily accessible, scores of notable Christian groups frequently plan conferences at Harvey Cedars, like the Navigators, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, Campus Crusade, and the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals. Find Harvey Cedars on Facebook or at hcbible.org, hcbible.org. Call 609-494-5689, 609-494-5689. Harvey Cedars, where Christ finds people and changes lives.
Hi, I'm Stefan Lindblad, Assistant Professor of Systematic Theology at IRBS Theological Seminary in Mansfield, Texas. I accepted this call to teach at the seminary because I'm firmly convinced that the people of God in the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ need to be firmly grounded in the truth of Holy Scripture.
I'm excited to be teaching such subjects as the nature of theology and the doctrine of Scripture, and even the doctrine of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Our churches and our people need to be well grounded in these truths. Indeed, future ministers of the gospel need to understand these truths in order to proclaim them to all of God's people. If you want to learn more about our program, visit us online at irbsseminary.org.
Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, "For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." Hi, I'm Mark Lukens, pastor of Providence Baptist Church. We are a Reformed Baptist church, and we hold to the London Baptist Confession of Faith of 1689. We are in Norfolk, Massachusetts. We strive to reflect Paul's mindset to be much more concerned with how God views what we say and what we do than how men view these things. That's not the best recipe for popularity, but since that wasn't the apostles' priority, it must not be ours either. We believe, by God's grace, that we are called to demonstrate love and compassion to our fellow man, and to be vessels of Christ's mercy to a lost and hurting community around us, and to build up the body of Christ in truth and love. If you live near Norfolk, Massachusetts, or plan to visit our area, please come and join us for worship and fellowship. You can call us at 508-528-5750, that's 508-528-5750, or go to our website to email us, listen to past sermons, worship songs, or watch our TV program entitled Resting in Grace. You can find us at providencebaptistchurchma.org, that's providencebaptistchurchma.org, or even on sermonaudio.com. Providence Baptist Church is delighted to sponsor Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Did you know that all believers are priests? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the Apostle Peter describes Christ's church as comprising a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So if you're a Christian, you're also a priest. Now you can find the newest styles in Reformed and Protestant apparel at citizenpriest.com. Citizenpriest.com specializes in Christian-themed t-shirts and clothing especially for Reformed Christians. Citizenpriest.com's merchandise is purposefully scripture-based and meant for the edification of the saints and the furtherance of the gospel. Let everyone know that you stand firm on the doctrines of the Reformed faith by wearing apparel from citizenpriest.com. Visit citizenpriest.com today.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko, host of A Visit to the Pastor's Study, and I am so thankful to be part of the advertising family right here on Iron Sharpens Iron. If you live on Long Island, or if you're visiting the metropolitan New York area, I invite you to join us for worship at The Haven on Sundays at 4:30 p.m. We meet at the Ascension Lutheran Church facility, 33 Bayshore Road in Deer Park, New York. At The Haven, you'll find God-saturated singing, gospel-rich ministry, and great commission opportunities. Learn more about us at thehavenli.com and join us this Sunday at 4:30 p.m., 33 Bayshore Road, Deer Park, New York.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest has been for the entire program,
Liam Gallagher, the senior minister at 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We are now concluding our discussion on sanctification by grace. And if you have a question, please send it immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. We do have a listener, RJ in White Plains, New York, who says, Reverend Gallagher, don't you think the issue of the absolute necessity of sanctification is important in a day and age when anybody calling themselves a Christian is deemed to be someone headed for heaven, when we are surrounded by the millions globally with false converts who think wrongly they are saved only because they have a profession and not an inward transformation?
This is fundamental. I think that we do our congregations a disservice if we don't teach them that trusting Christ alone for salvation is the basis of our justification, but that the evidence of our justification is the outworking of that, is a desire to live for God, a desire to please God. It is the motivating force of the new birth, that I want my life to conform more and more to my Heavenly Father, that I long to be more like Jesus and to be purified, to let the Son of God work a purification within my heart, purifying my thoughts and my motives and my actions on an ongoing basis. I think we need to be preaching this to our people. I think perhaps we're afraid of preaching it to our people. Maybe we think if we preach sanctification to our people will start trusting in their good works for their salvation. That's nonsense. If they're trusting in Christ for salvation, we can be emphasizing that very thing, and yet at the same time they're saying, now you are Christ's, then you must die to sin and live to righteousness. You must killing sin, and you must be pursuing a holy life, a life that is more and more like your Heavenly Father, becoming more and more like Jesus in your daily walk. You can do it. You can do it. If you're a believer, you can do it because the Holy Spirit's within you. If you say to me, you cannot do it, then the Holy Spirit doesn't live within you. That's the bottom line. There is no reason why a believer indwelt by the Holy Spirit cannot begin the steps towards becoming more and more like his Savior.
Well, now I want you to, if you could, please summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding the subject of sanctification by grace before we go off the air.
I think I want you to think of sanctification as the most beautiful thing, not a trial, not a burden, not a task, but a beautiful thing that God does inside of us by making us more and more like the Lord Jesus, thinking the way Jesus thought, acting as Jesus would, and that in doing so, we become closer to God, our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Well, I want you all to remember that my guest today, Pastor Liam Gallagher, will be speaking in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania, this weekend at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology on the theme, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. And if you want more details on how you can register, go to alliancenet.org, alliancenet.org, and then click on Events, and then scroll down to the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology 2019, Redemption Accomplished and Applied. This is being held at the Proclamation Presbyterian Church of Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. That's this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, April 26th, 27th, and the 28th. God willing, I will be there. Look for me. Ask around. Where's Chris Arnson from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? And I hope to see you there. Don't forget that tomorrow our guest is Jeff Kingswood. Jeff Kingswood is going to be one of the speakers at the Banner of Truth Conference
which is coming up in May, and he's my guest tomorrow, discussing the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Also, don't forget, if you live in the Philadelphia area and you do not have a church home, or perhaps you know you'll be visiting there on vacation, or you have family, friends, and loved ones who live in Philadelphia, go to tenth.org, T-E-N-T-H, that's the word tenth.org, to find out more about the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where our friend and guest today, Liam Gallagher, is the pastor. I hope that you all are blessed by today's program. I hope that you will even share the MP3 of the program with others. And I hope to see you all this weekend at the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. And I hope that you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far, far greater Savior than you are a sinner.